Sunday of Venice. When is it? We'll call you up.
Okay.
I am.
Ben Benoy, if you're, we're doing a mic check on online. Can you hear us?
I can, Commissioner.
All right, we can hear you as well. So we're assuming everyone else on the Zoom call or watching it online can hear us. Welcome this afternoon to our Board of County Commissioners meeting. As always, we start with either a prayer, a reading, or a thought, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. And we have got volunteers already lined up. So we've got Reverend Munson of the Awakening Valley Sangha. Close enough?
Perfect.
Perfect? Oh, wow. Okay. And then afterwards, Brad Walton. I know there's more to that, but is it Reverend as well?
No, just Brad Walton.
Just Brad Walton. Okay. Okay.
All right. Adventist.
I'm the Seventh-day Adventist that's going to lead us in the pledge. So come on up, Reverend. Yeah, right here.
Today I'll be reading from the Metta Sutta. To reach a state of mind, one should be skilled in the good. We should be capable and upright, straightforward and easy to speak to, gentle and not proud. We should work to be contented, living lightly, and with few debts. We should work to be wise, with our senses being calmed. We should work to avoid being arrogant and without greed. And we should not do the least thing that the wise would criticize. Let us reflect on this idea. May all beings be happy and secure. May all beings be happy at heart. May all beings, whether weak or strong, tall, large, medium or short, tiny or large, seen or unseen, near or distant, born or yet to be born, may they all be happy. Let no one deceive another or despise anyone, anywhere. Let no one through anger or aversion wish for others to suffer. As a mother would risk her own life to protect her child, her only child, so towards all beings should one cultivate a boundless heart with loving kindness for the whole world. Should one cultivate a boundless heart above, below, and all around, without obstruction, without hate, and without ill will, standing or walking, sitting or lying down, whenever one is awake, may one stay with this recollection. This is called a sublime abiding here and now. One who is virtuous, endowed with vision, not taken by views and prejudice, and having overcome all greed for sensual pleasure, that individual will not be born again. Thank you for this opportunity, and I wish you well and no suffering.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Brad?
If you'd all stand, please, and repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thanks, Brad.
Thank you to both of you for participating with us in this part of our agenda and our meeting. We will now look at our agenda and organize it. As you'll note, the consent agenda is blank. We will fill that consent agenda. I would assume we'll fill this consent agenda with items that we don't hold. So if we hold an item, It will stay on regular agenda to be discussed and talked about. Otherwise, it will go on our consent agenda as if all three commissioners have voted either for ratification, adoption, approval, or however it's stated on the agenda. I say this over and over because I hear people say, I'm not sure what's going on in the commission meeting and how we get to a point to where things, you know, get consented without actual discussion. But we've looked at them, and all three of us have an opportunity, if we'd like to talk about it, to pull it off. So with that, let's start with 1 through 10. Are there any items from 1 through 10 that we need to hold and keep it on a regular agenda?
I have none.
I'm the same. How about items 11 through 20? Any items there?
I have none other than that 16 is a watershed restoration initiative. That's what that WRI, others who don't have access to the attachment. And the 17 is the BYU's allowing the county to use the former Provo High School for some of his vaccinations. And they're going to begin construction in August, but they're allowing the county to continue to use and work until the end of October 20th.
Right. Okay. Okay. So you're fine leaving them on consent?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Then items 21 through 27.
So for item number 25, we do need to note, I'm fine leaving it on consent, but we can note that the judge will be Judge Scott Cullimore. So we're just adding the name Judge Scott Cullimore on 25 and then leaving it on consent.
And that's a temporary appointment while the other judge is gone out of town for a month or so, I think it is.
Yep.
So it's a temporary fill.
Right.
You didn't need a finding on item 24.
Right. So we'll want to hold 24. To
24.
For finding.
And
27 we'll hold, right, to discuss.
And 27. And then 23. I'm assuming. Oh, not 23. I'm sorry. Well, on item number 23. It's understood on that one that the deletion of the one position will partially fund the new position with additional time limited money that will take up the difference. Correct?
Yeah.
So there's no additional monies out of the general fund.
Yeah.
Okay. And all right. And then, okay, so let me make sure. So it's, which one did we say? We're holding number 24 for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then 27.
Yeah.
Out of those. Okay, and then items number 28. These are our closed meetings. The only one that I know of is item number 28. Are there any other closed meetings that we need to hold?
And 27, are we holding or tabling until after the closed session?
Oh, that's good. Yeah. So if we can table that one.
Yeah.
Table that one. That one will, item number 27 will. So just for clarification, we'll go through our regular agenda. We'll go into a closed meeting, and then we'll come out of the closed meeting. So we'll excuse everybody from the closed meeting, and then we'll come out of our closed meeting back into regular session, and we'll address item number 27. So hopefully that's understood. Sorta?
Yep.
Okay.
And then we can strike 29,
and then 29.
So 30, and 31.
So items 29, 30, and 31 we'll leave on consent to strike.
Yep.
And then we will leave on consent that we've approved and set a date, time, and location for a closed meeting to discuss the character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of an individuals, as stated in number 28, following this regular agenda at this place and this location. We can leave that on consent for that. Okay. Alice, do you want to recap for clarification?
Yes. Okay. So I have, we're holding 24, tabling 27, mm-hmm. and holding 28 as outlined, and then we're striking 29, 30, and 31.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yes. Okay. All right. So with that, then, we will move to item number 24.
Adam Beck, County Attorney's Office. So I just wanted to go over the recommendation, the request for reinstatement of exemption status for 2021, the 2021 year may not be granted. However, if the Board of County Commissioners of Utah County finds that the best human interest and the interest of the state and county are served, it may abate the 2021 taxes, penalties, and all applicable interest.
Right. Were there any other congregations affected by this time lapse? Were there other churches that missed the deadline?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I mean, if we've got, if anyone from the congregation can maybe let us know what happened that it got missed, and maybe talk about any efforts you've taken to ensure that something like this doesn't happen again.
I'd be happy to.
Absolutely. Yeah, come up and then state your name for the record and then kind of explain to us what happened and let us know, you know, how things will be moving forward.
Thank you. My name is Brad Walton. I'm the first elder at the Provo Seventh-day Adventist Church. We're located at 255 South 700 East. Right over by the fire station there on 3rd South. As many churches last year were not meeting due to the pandemic, we were not either. We had just started to meet in person again in January, and our church secretaries were going through all of the mail that had accumulated, and the notification for needing to fill out the form for property tax exemption was missed. It fell between the cracks. I received it in probably the second week of February. It was due at the end of January. I immediately filled that out, sent that in to the BOE, and was informed at that point that my form was late, or our form was late. I was fully aware of the fact that we were late on that. The form did get filled out and sent in. But at that point, as I came to understand, because it was late, it was beyond the board's ability to say, well, we can just forego the requirements on that. It was state law that if it was not filled out and the exemption was extended, then that would have to come to a body like this for adjudication or reinstatement, whatever has to be done there. And so at that point, and my friend Tom had gotten in touch with me just last month and said, what happened here? And I said, this was strictly a comedy of errors, that the form that was required did not get submitted on time. And I understand that we missed the deadline. And I have here today our senior pastor, our associate pastor, and my wife, Linda Walton, our chaplain. Because we were all very concerned that this had happened. Mm-hmm. And we certainly don't want to have that happen again. And being as we are a church that we're certainly not in the majority in our community, we work very diligently to try to be a positive impact on the entire community of Provo. And we don't want to be a burden to this commission by not having filled out our forms. If I could ask some advice from the council or from the commission, is this a new form that needs to be resubmitted for property tax exemption every year? Because I think that we've filled it out twice in the last few years, and
there have been some changes in state laws in the last few years.
Okay.
Mainly around deadlines.
Yes. Okay. I'm just curious because I've been in this position in our church for a couple of decades, and I never even remember seeing this form or hearing of a requirement to reapply for a property tax exemption. We're happy to do so. I just slipped on this one.
And what makes it all the more awkward, you're the second oldest congregation in the state of Utah.
We have been a very proud Provo congregation since 1887. 1897. Yeah. And
not had this issue before.
And this is the first time, so I'm sure glad it fell on my shoulders. So we will make sure that it gets filled out before the end of January next year. We're here today to, it's the wrong metaphor, but to throw ourselves on the mercy of the commission to hopefully be able to have that property tax exemption reinstated for this year.
So Brad, if I could maybe just talk briefly about some of the historical,
yes.
And then so it's interesting how this all played out, to a certain extent, because there is a process. And the first time I heard about it was when I read it in the paper, which was ironic.
Same.
I was like, "What? What's going on?
What's
happening
with this?"
And I find it a little bit hilarious because, and now I've received a bunch of emails, things that are happening that way, and some good, some bad, whatever the case may be. But I shake my head just a little bit because one, the employees of the county are doing exactly what they should be doing in following state statute. I want to make sure and point that out,
I want to assure you that we understand that I had the opportunity to meet with Bert Harvey, and he said, of course you qualify. Of course everything's fine. There's no problem. But the state law reads this.
Right.
And if I say you can do differently, then I'm breaking the law.
Right.
They're
in their box and they're playing it the way they're supposed to, and that's why I find it kind of fascinating because before we even go through the process, all of a sudden we see an article come out and things go, and I was like, wow, we haven't even gone through the process. It's like seeing a movie halfway through and determining what the end is before
we even figure out what the start was.
Right?
Yeah.
And we don't even know. So that part was kind of comical. But there's a couple of things you said. We can't do the reinstatement part, but the part that we have now, this is the box that we can live in.
I was going to say, within the law.
Yeah, within the box that we have the ability to recognize. And I would anticipate, and I'm making an assumption because I haven't talked to the fellow commissioners, mm-hmm. but I'm assuming they see it the same way. Obviously, you fall within that criteria as tax exempt, in my opinion. And
yes,
and because of that, there was some things that happened on there. That's not the point. But the box that we have that we can work within is to alleviate that tax or the tax, the interest and penalties. Mm-hmm. You still will have to go through and get the tax exempt status, you know, again.
Of course. No, I understand where that has lapsed. Yeah. We have to reapply.
Right. Yeah.
And Bert made that very clear to me when I met with him.
Yeah. So I think that's what we have on our agenda, is to be able to anticipate that, to look at that. Okay. And then, you know, come to a conclusion at the end of this certain saga.
Yeah. Yeah, so we can waive any taxes and penalties and interest this year, and then next year you would just reapply.
So, great. And would that be at the first of the calendar year, in January? I mean, is that when the appropriate reapplication period is?
I think that's about, I think that's right. Adam, is that correct?
Yeah,
I don't want to be here next year.
We don't want you here
we
next
don't
year.
Want you
yeah, I'm sure.
For this
the prayer.
I mean, if you
want
to come to
yeah,
the
sure,
prayer.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah, come and listen.
Yeah, so the deadline for this year was March 1st
okay.
of 2021.
Okay.
So it'd yeah. be roughly the same time next year. Yeah.
This okay. is a new application, though, so just get with Bert and he'll have all those details.
Yeah, I would get with Bert and he'll know exactly, because you're
it's
right.
It's not a renewal, it's an application.
Yeah, a new application.
I can tell Bert and I are going to become friends, so it's not, yeah.
yeah. Bert's a good guy. I'm friends with him, too.
Oh, yeah, I appreciated him seeing me, so.
Yeah, so yeah. Bert will be able to tell you the application process, when the deadline is, all of those things, and then he can get you taken care of.
Okay. Just remember, it's going to be new. It won't be.
Right, right, not a. A continuation.
Renewal. Yeah.
Yeah. So let me ask one other question. Do other churches do this on a local basis? Or, you know, we're part of our church organization is a local congregation, and then we're part of the Nevada-Utah Conference, which is part of the North American division of our church. And I mistakenly assumed that either the conference or the national church would take care of that. And so is this out of the ordinary for other denominations? Any idea on that?
So Josh Daniels, county auditor, since we handle this process,
Josh.
You know, the largest religious community in our state has an entire division of people at their corporate headquarters, if you will, that handle these applications for all of the physical locations in the state.
Okay.
So I think, you know, if you're part of a larger religious organization that maybe has the legal capacity to deal with compliance, mm-hmm. you might want to lean on them for that support.
I believe our Harold, our pastor, has spoken with them about that.
Yeah.
But I wanted to get it from, you know, a perspective from our county here, so
yeah,
that we're not
would,
saying, oh, well, they took care of this.
Yeah, no, they would still put in our local forms.
Sure.
So they would still put in our local forms, but they could do it as an administrative. But they would still need to.
It would still be needed to be submitted every year.
Yeah, just, it would still need to be submitted every year, and it would still be submitted here locally.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
And some charities are better than others in terms of being organized. I mean, I can think of another very large charitable organization who is much less well organized. And that would be surprising if you knew what that organization was. So every organization is a little bit different as to how well they're able to comply with all the requirements. But
sure.
I mean, I think the best advice is if you have some of that administrative support at a larger organizational level, kind of clue them in as to the process, and if they can manage the process, that might be more efficient for you. But
I'm sure it would be, considering my performance this year. So
just make sure when you fill out the application that you put in a mailing address. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to go to corporate, we can mail it there so that it's not actually getting mailed to your physical building.
Right.
We can mail it to wherever you want. And that way, if there's somebody there that's on staff that's opening the mail regularly, then they'll see it.
Great. Okay. All right. Bill, thank you very much for the consideration.
Yep. Thank you. All right. With that, then, any further discussion or a motion to be in order?
Yeah, I will make a motion that we abate the taxes and penalties and interest for on this action.
And I can second that motion.
I would suggest that you add with a finding that the best human interests and the interests of the state and the county are served by such action.
Okay. And I find that the best human interest and the interest of the county and the state are served by abating those taxes and fees and interest.
Being consistent with everybody. Yes.
And I'll repeat the second. Second that motion.
I got a motion and a second. As described, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. That passes 3-0. Okay. Thank you. Thanks for coming in, having that discussion.
Thanks, okay. Howard.
We'll dismiss ourselves from the meeting.
Well, you know, we're at the end anyway, so thank you. Perfect timing.
This works.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, pastors, elders.
So we'll now be moving into our closed meeting, so thank you for for coming to this short meeting. Again, just we will be opening it back up after our closed meeting to possibly take action on an item.
It's like the world's shortest meeting.
Yeah.
And this is the one that I have something tonight that I can't go home.
Yeah. What are you doing tonight?
Senator Lee's town hall.
Oh, okay.
Asking me a question.
Yeah.
I just want to figure out what that
is. I got the equestrian center tonight.
Goodbye.
The meeting. All right, we're back into our open session now. We do have one item that we tabled, and that was item number 27.
I'll move to untable that item.
I'll make a motion that we untable.
Oh, we already have a motion. I need a second.
Yes. Second, I'll second that.
I got a motion and a second to bring item 27 back onto our agenda. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. That passes 3-0. Now, item number 27 is to appoint a project coordinator position in Utah County Commission office.
I move we appoint Joe Haldwell to the project coordinator position.
And I can second that motion.
I got a motion and a second. I do want to, for comment purposes, I want to point this out. I know it says the position is in the Utah County Commission office, which we'll be directing. It is not an increase. It's something that we have had in the county now for some time, these positions. It's a matter of just functionality, seeing that these grant funds are directly allocated and under the direction of the executive, which is the commission. So it's not an increase to the commission office. It's just a matter of direction for it.
And I'd like to add that this was supported by the clerk auditor on June 9th. An email, it says that the ongoing collaboration and managing these programs and funding would be enhanced by having them physically located adjacent to the commission instead of working in separate buildings.
Okay. Any other comments? All in favor say aye.
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 That passes 3-0. All right. Final motion.
I move to adjourn.
I second that motion.
We're now adjourned.